What about the transition coming over from Europe to North America? I mean, you were born in Winnipeg, and your father had a lot of success in North America. Did that help you come over to Europe? Because, I mean, we've seen instances in the past where some people find it difficult to leave Europe for the North American game.
I don't know. Not really. I don't really, obviously knowing the language a little bit better than maybe most Europeans would when they came over is something that really helps. And also knowing kind of a little bit about the culture and, especially going to a team like Toronto where the market for hockey is so big, I was a little bit more prepared knowing that that's how it was in Toronto. But at the same time, all the teams in the NHL do a good job of preparing their young guys for what's to come, and especially in a market like Toronto, I think the organization there does a good job of that as well. And in at early stages, after you get drafted, when you go to rookie camps, they have not classes, but like they take their time to sort of teach you about the media and help you understand the media does and the fan base and everything around the team that is not just hockey based, but sort of what goes on outside of the boards. And I think that helped me a lot anyways coming over. But just generally hockey wise, the lockout year was a big year for me. I took the decision to stay in Europe for an extra couple of years to make sure I was ready to come over and play in the NHL. I didn't want to come over and not be mature enough to play and not be physically strong enough to play. So I took my time and made sure that I was ready. And then the lockout happened, and it actually worked out well because the Elite League of Sweden brought over so many NHL players that it bumped up the league to an extra level. So it was almost like playing in a league that was somewhere in between the Elite League and the NHL.
Right.
So you kind of upped your tempo in your body a little bit more before I came over.
I want to talk a little bit about that European game. You had some great success over there overseas. We're seeing a couple of young guys lately, guys like yourself, Malkin, and a teammate of yours briefly, Nikolai Kalemin. They come from similar leagues and step in seamlessly. Do you feel playing in that league, how do you feel it prepared you for life in the NHL?
In the Elite League?
Yeah.
You're playing with men like you do over here. I think the talent, even though the games are very different in Sweden and or in Europe and in Canada because of the size of the rink and the structure around the game is different. It's hard to compare the two leagues, but you play with men that physically strong and they over in Europe most of the players are pretty talented with the puck and moving, so it turns into a pretty quick game. So you get the tempo that I was talking about before, the tempo in your body always gets pushed to a new level, and I think that's what helps when you come over as a younger guy and try and crack your way into the NHL.
St. Louis has some great organizational depth, and they're beginning to infuse some of those young players in the lineup, and there's no there's no question they're going to be a real quality team sooner rather than later. As someone like myself located on Eastern Canada who doesn't get to see the Blues as much as I would like, can you name me one player, a younger guy, who really stands out to you? Maybe someone who kind of slips under the radar right now, but it won't be long before he's a household name.
I'd have to go with a fellow Swede, Patrick Berglund. He's very talented. He's a big guy. He's strong. He sees the ice very well. He's got a very quick and heavy shot. So I think he's going to be somebody that teams are going to have to look out for in years to come.
It is a young team, as we just spoke of above. When you came to St. Louis with Carlo, who was the guy in the Blues room that helped you guys kind of get comfortable?
it's a lot of guys. You know, Keith, I've known since I grew up in Winnipeg. He played with my dad, and I played with Danny Heinold in Moto during the lockout year, and a lot of the veteran guys on this team are very open and humble and really took us in. You know, Eric Brewer and you know, Jax is, Rick Barrett Jackman has been great. He's you know, helped us out with whatever we've needed, and you know, he's been a great person to be around in the locker room, a great leader for the team. You know, I really enjoy playing with him.
It sounds like it's a pretty loose room there in St. Louis. Who's the biggest prankster on the team?
In St. Louis?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd have to say Walt. Keith the Chuck.
What's the best rib you've seen so far there?
Here in St. Louis?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's so much pranks. It's just very witty. Like, he's got nicknames for everybody, and he's very quick. Like, it's when he comes up with a joke or something to say, he's always very quick about it, and I think that's what makes it that much more funny.
Switching gears here, I just want to finish off the interview by talking a bit about Right to Play. I know it's a fantastic organization. I know you're a big part of it. Talk about the charitable work you've done with Right to Play in the past and this season.
Well, this season has been kind of hectic with with the trade and everything that's been going on. But it's a great organization. I think it's fascinating the way they teach, they teach about everyday life stuff, but they use sports to do it. And it's a great idea and something that really, I think, can grasp the kids. And I think a lot of the stuff that the kids take in, they don't even realize because they just think they're having fun playing sports and, you know, all the fundamentals that they're learning is so important for the rest of their lives. And I think what that organization is doing is unbelievable. And I know a lot of the guys that are a part of it that are just really enjoying it. And I know Ference and those guys went to traveled abroad with them and actually went on one of the trips and had a great time. So it's... And the organization is only getting bigger and bigger, which is great news.
Who was it that got you involved in Right to Play? Was it a representative or was it a fellow player?
No, it was. I was actually the first one. They came to me in Toronto, and I was doing a charity of my own with the Amadeus Dean Foundation. It's my brother who passed away a long time ago, and. He approached me and asked me about it. His name is Mark Bremner. He approached me and asked me what I thought about the organization, showed me some of the people that are involved, and you know, I thought it was a great idea. It was definitely interesting, and you know, I think there's been a lot more people that have jumped on now, realizing what the organization is and what it stands for and what it does.
You spoke a little bit about Ference and a couple of the other guys. I think Monitor also went over. Is that something maybe in the future interests you in going over there and seeing it firsthand?
Yeah, I would like to go, you know, definitely, and see what it's like. The reason I haven't been able to do so is I have a young son. We've been kind of holding off, and, you know, maybe when he gets a little bit bigger, it's easier to take off from time like that. But I know my wife would really like to go there and see what it's like as well. She's she enjoys that sort of stuff as well. So hopefully we'll get away one of these summers or one of these off seasons.